Okay, we're going to be in Jonah this morning. So I want to kind of do a little bit of a camp intro. I know a few of you guys are not going to camp. So you'll have to just apply this in another way in your life. But I want to talk a little bit about... So we spend a week away, and our goal at camp, we get you away from your phones, which is probably hard for some of you at the beginning especially. But I think those who have gone before will say they like it. They like being disconnected from their phones. Do you like being disconnected from your phone every once in a while?
Yeah.
Elias?
Yeah.
Hallie just looked at me like I was crazy.
Okay, I like being disconnected.
Some of you guys have told me that before.
But I do have family members.
Well, if it's an emergency, they'll get in contact with me, and then I'll let you know about it. But anyways, it's good to disconnect. It's good for us to disconnect. I try not to be on my phone. I do have it for emergencies, but I try not to be on it during camp. But it's good to just get away and focus on something other than the stuff that we normally focus on: our routine, our phones, our friends, our work, our school, all of those things. It's good to separate ourselves from those things and be able to focus on having, you know, either getting a relationship with the Lord or strengthening that or growing in that in some way, and just having fun and being outside and all those things. It's good for us to do those things from time to time. And so, but you know, we get you guys, normally we get you for like an hour on Sundays and an hour and a half on Wednesday nights. And the rest of the time, you know, you're not here, and I'm not investing or teaching you the Word of God, or I'm not able to do those things all the time. And so obviously we trust that you guys are reading your Bibles and in prayer on your own and those kinds of things. That's why we encourage it and challenge you guys so much with that and talk about discipleship, so you have, you know, other points of connection in your life. But at camp, it's all week. I mean, it's from starting right now until Friday night when you get home. You get a lot of the Word, you get a lot of prayer, you get a lot of time sitting around talking about the Word, how are you going to apply these things in your life. You have counseling time where you're sitting, you know, with a small group of people and you know, hopefully opening up a little bit and talking to them about maybe things that, you know, reasons that it's been hard for you to do this in the past, or, you know, ways that you want to get better in certain areas in your walk with the Lord. Like, we want you guys to focus on those things this week. And so, you know, it's amazing what God can do in a week. It's not even a full week, but it's amazing what God can do in a week. And so if you just think about, I mean, just the things in the Bible that we know God did in a week or less, right? He created the universe in a week, right? He created everything that we have ever seen was created in 1 week. God can do that miraculous work in a week. If you think about, you know, Jesus dying on the cross, he was dead for 3 days and he rose from the dead. And in 3 days' time, right, God redeemed humanity and gave all of us access to eternal life in 3 days' time. And so I want to look at the story of Jonah this morning, just to talk about and think about what God can do in a week in your life. And so just be, hopefully you guys have already been thinking about this as we've been talking a lot about evangelism and you know, obviously we talk a lot just in general about wanting you guys to grow and seeing you go, you know, from the time you come into this class in sixth grade to the time you graduate out in high school. Just, we want to see you guys grow in your walk with the Lord. And, you know, camp is just a small snapshot of that, but it is a big thing that we do every year that it kind of gets us, maybe refocused or re-energized or re-excited about, our walk with the Lord. And so, the story of Jonah, he's a, you know, a cautionary tale in a lot of ways, but it's also, you know, a story about what God can accomplish through even someone who's attitude is not right, and even someone who is reluctantly obedient at best, right? So if you go to Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And so, you know, God tells Jonah what he's supposed to do. And so this is kind of a little bit maybe of a weird passage to talk about for camp, because I want you guys to be excited and energized and obedient to what God's calling you to do. And we start off with Jonah, who is disobedient right from the get-go. So God's calling him to go accomplish something, to go save this city because they're in their wickedness, and he's supposed to go there and tell them, like, hey, like, repent. right? Stop doing the things that you're doing. And so that's what God tells them to do. And we know the story. Jonah turns around and goes the opposite direction, right? He pays for a boat to get on and go as far away from God as he can get, as far away from where God wants him to be as he can get. And so, you know, don't be disobedient. Don't be, you know, reluctant to go where God wants you to go. He wants you to be at camp. Most of you guys are going to be at camp. You know, but while you're there, and I'll say some of this stuff again when we're at camp, but while you're there, like, just be obedient. Be willing to, you know, participate in stuff. Be willing to, share things that are going on in your life. I'm not saying you have to reveal your deepest, darkest secrets to people, but, like, you know, be open and willing to, you know, see what God would have for you, because God has a plan for each one of our lives, right? He has things that he wants to accomplish in each one of your lives, in different places that each one of you guys has access to, through different friends that maybe other people don't have access to, or through your school or through your job. Like, you all have kind of, are uniquely fitted to reach certain people with the gospel. And so don't run from that. But we need to be prepared, and we need to be obedient and willing to go. And so as the rest of the story goes, you know, God has the storm come, and the people on the boat are freaking out, and they end up throwing Jonah overboard, and he gets swallowed by the whale, right? And he spends 3 days in the whale, in the whale's belly. And then, you know, ultimately he repents, and God brings him to the place where now he's going to go do what he was told that he was supposed to do. So go to chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Okay, so the second time, he's obedient, right? And I say reluctantly obedient, if you know the rest of the story, which we'll get to in a second. He doesn't do it with the right attitude, but he does obey, right? But don't make God call you a second time, right? If he would have been obedient the first time, think about all the trouble that would have been saved, okay? When these guys are on the boat, I mean, obviously it impacted their lives, but they're throwing everything overboard. I don't know what kind of stuff they had on that boat, but they're throwing everything overboard, trying to lighten the boat and make it easier where it's not going to capsize or break in half, or, you know, where they can survive this storm that God has called on or called out. And so it costs a lot, like just monetarily it costs a lot. But then it costs Jonah having to be thrown into the ocean, right? I mean, there was pain involved in not obeying, and there was pain involved in running from God. And so, you know, if God is, you know, calling you or directing you certain ways, like, be obedient to God's call. Because God can accomplish a lot when we're obedient. You know, the Bible tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice, right? God can do a lot with a willing, obedient person. Someone who's just willing to, you know, put aside whatever they feel. So Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because they were enemies of Nineveh, and he hated the people of Nineveh. And when God called him there, God knew that. God knew that he didn't like these people, and he wasn't going to be maybe excited about going and sharing the gospel with them. Or not the gospel, but going and telling them to repent. Right? He was probably not going to be excited about that. God knew that already. But Jonah's hatred for these people ended up costing him a lot. And so it took God a second time of calling him and saying, "Hey, same message. You know, we went through all of this. You know, you've been swallowed by this whale, and now it spit you out. And now I'm going to give you another chance. The same thing. Go to Nineveh and preach unto it." Right? And so he does do it. He goes to Nineveh. He preaches. And it says in verse 5, "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came from unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Okay, so there's a revival in Nineveh. From the very top, from the king all the way down to the animals, there's a decree, like, we are stopping all of the stuff that Jonah's telling us that we're not supposed to do. We don't want the wrath of God. We are not interested in that. We're going to repent as a nation, all of us, by rule or by decree of the king. We are going to stop doing the things that we're doing. And God spared them. And so we have this team from Greentown. And so I'm talking about things that can be accomplished in a week. These guys aren't here for a complete week, but almost a week, right? And people have been saved. Do we have a count on how many people have prayed for salvation?
I'd say six to eight.
Yeah, okay. 6 to 8 people have prayed to accept Christ as their Savior. We don't know where those people will end up. You know, we've given them, you know, QR codes for access to churches maybe near them or ways to connect with us. Hopefully they'll reach out and connect. But, you know, whether they do or not, if these people genuinely believed the gospel that was being presented to them and they prayed and accepted Christ as their Savior, regardless of what happens next, their eternity is changed, right? Those people will spend eternity in heaven because people were willing. These guys, I don't know who prayed with all the different people, but it doesn't really matter. These guys were here to do that work, right? And we passed out, I don't know, 5,000, give or take, maybe more, Romans to people with access to the gospel. We tried to share as much as we could with different people as they would allow us to share with them. And so, you know, the word of God went out to, let's say, 5,000 people this week, through this team and through people from HBF that went out. And so what God can accomplish in a week, people have repented, maybe, but the people have accepted Christ as their Savior because of obedience of a small group of people willing to come down and make themselves uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable for me. I went out with them on Thursday. I think you guys went Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Yeah, they've been out Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But it's uncomfortable. It's awkward to walk up to people that maybe you can tell already, like, they don't really want to engage with me, but I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try and see what I can do. And you know, we have different tools and different methods of different ways of fishing, and we've tried all kinds of different things. Some of it works better than others. But being obedient is what God wants, right? We're not responsible for the fruit that comes from that. That's up to God. That's up to the Holy Spirit. That's up to the Word of God. Our job is to just be obedient and get the seed out, right? Brian's been saying, get the seed out of the barn, like, that's his new phrase. He's been saying it a lot over the last couple of months. He means getting these Romans that are in the armory out to, you know, the world, to wherever, whoever will take it. And so, you know, when we are obedient, it's amazing what God can accomplish in a short amount of time. In just the 4 or 5 days that they've been here, people's lives, eternity has been changed. And so when Jonah's finally willing to obey God, as reluctantly and as bad attitude as he had, this whole nation repents. And they turn away from their wicked ways, and God spares them. And so it's like miraculous. Like, God has done this miraculous work in these people's lives, and he used this guy, Jonah, who was semi-obedient. And then look at the very first verse of chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And it's like, dude, I mean, when you guys have prayed with someone, or when we get a message on WhatsApp that someone accepted Christ during our outing, I mean, none of us are like, dang it! Why did this person get saved? Like, that is the opposite reaction of what we have been praying for the months that we've been planning this outreach. Like, we are overly excited that someone has maybe truly believed and asked Christ into their heart to save them, and that maybe that person's life, eternity, has been changed. Right? Like, we're beyond excited. We're all praising and excited for each other, and man, that's so cool you got to do that, and that gives you energy to keep going, and I'm going to try with the next person and see if maybe I get an opportunity to do that with somebody. It should bring us, like, joy and happiness and excitement to see that people have repented and changed from what they were doing to what, you know, God wants them to do. And that's what happened in Nineveh. But Jonah's like, he's displeased exceedingly and very angry. And he doesn't just keep that to himself. Verse 2, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before or fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He's like, God, I knew you were going to do this. Why? I hate these people. Why are you... This is why I ran in the first place. I knew you were going to be merciful to them, and you weren't going to take your wrath out on them, and this is why I didn't want to come here in the first place, and what the heck? You know, like, I don't want these people to be repenting and spared. Like, just wipe them out, please. And it's like, if you know all those things about God, if you've been around church at all, and you know God is gracious, and you are grateful that God has been merciful to you and saved your soul, like, the thing we should want most is for that to happen in somebody else's life. Not to say, God, I know you're so gracious and great, and I'm so glad that you haven't destroyed me. Like, Jonah just went through, you know, being swallowed by a whale, and like, he was forgiven, right, for his act of rebellion against God. And so he's like, yeah, I know you're gracious, but these people, like, of all the people you had to, why are we sparing these people? And I just, the way that this book ends, you know, this the book is in our Bible, and it's called, you know, it's named Jonah after this guy. And, you know, you think all the books in the Bible, it's about these people, you know, especially the ones that are named after people. You think about, like, your Esthers, and you think about, you know, people like that, and Job, and, like, if you get a book in the Bible named after you, that's, like, awesome. I mean, that gets preserved for eternity. This guy, this book is named after Jonah, and the way this book ends, he complains and whines and cries for most of this chapter, and then in verse 9, it says, and God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. So he had raised up this gourd, and then he destroyed it, and Jonah was all mad about that, and it was like a picture, you know, God's trying to show him, like, hey, you care so much about this stupid plant that was here for like a day, but you don't care about these people's souls, this whole city that, you know, that I spared. And he says, yeah, I do well to be angry. He's like defiantly disobedient to God. God's like, are you sure you want to be angry about this plant? This is the hill that you want to die on. And he's like, yeah, this is the hill I want to die on. Verse 10, and then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000? How many people is 60,000? Huh? Scores 20, yeah. 120,000 people, okay? This is a city of 120,000 people. That's a big city today. That's a really big city back then. So he says, 60,000 persons, they cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. And so God ends the book of Jonah with a rhetorical question to Jonah. Like, you're going to care about this plant that was here for a day, and you don't care about these 120,000 people that were spared. Question mark. End of story. We don't know what happened. Like, what happens to Jonah after this? How does he respond? Because, I don't know about you guys, but, like, I've been angry before, right? And sometimes in the heat of anger or, you know, like, you don't want to admit, okay, I was wrong, my bad, let me take a step back from the thing that I just said, and let me tell you, I shouldn't have said that, and I should have said this instead. Like, it's hard to do that in the moment sometimes, right? But, and so, you know, the thing about, yeah, I'm right to be angry about this plant. You know, then God lays this out for him, and he's like, dude, listen, there's 120,000 people that were spared. Do you really think that this plant is, you should be upset about that more than you should be happy about these 120,000 people that I just spared? And then God just leaves it. And so, I don't know what happened to Jonah after this. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You can speculate all you want about what may or may not have happened after this. But the point is, Jonah was obedient, kind of, and God was able to do a miraculous thing. 120,000 people spared, right? Even with a bad attitude, even with, you know, kind of a defiant rebellion against God, even the way he's arguing with God, it all just is like, gross, man. Like, why are you acting like this? But all of us have had moments like that, maybe not with God, but, you know, with a friend or with a parent or with a significant other or whatever, where we've had moments where we just, like, are, you know, angry and, like, just don't have the right attitude and the right spirit about it. And so my point in kind of sharing all of this is just thinking about the week that we're coming up to, as we depart, is just be obedient and just be willing to let God do whatever He wants to do in your life this week. Have the right attitude, right? I mean, God can accomplish a lot of things even without the right attitude. But when guys have, I mean, there's story after story. This is a story of someone with a bad attitude. Think about all the stories of people with good attitudes and who were obedient and the amazing things that God accomplished in their life. I'm reading through the life of Joseph in my daily reading right now. I mean, that guy, persecuted left and right, his brothers sell him into slavery, he gets falsely accused of something, thrown into prison, he interprets a dream for these two guys, and they're like, man, we're going to remember you, the one guy that gets out, I'm going to remember you, I'm going to tell Pharaoh about you, and I'm going to get you out of here. And then 2 years goes by, nothing, crickets. And I mean, it doesn't say anything about Joseph's attitude in this situation, but everything else in his life just screams, this guy was probably irritated and frustrated that this situation happened, but I bet it didn't affect his disposition, his willingness to serve the Lord, whether he's in prison or whether he's in Potiphar's house or whether he's in his dad's house or whether he's in the palace, wherever Joseph was, he had the right attitude. He was always, you know, obedient, had a servant heart. And so, you know, when these guys are like, the guy forgets all about him for 2 years. I mean, think about how long 2 years is to sit in prison for something you didn't do anyways. After the promise of somebody who is right next to the king, the guy that could get you out of it, he's like right next to him every day. And he says, I'm going to tell this guy about you and we're going to get you out of here. And then nothing. And then God has to bring Pharaoh a dream. And then the guy's like, oh my gosh, 2 years ago, that guy interpreted my dream. I bet he could do the same thing for Pharaoh, right? And so God uses all those things and works it all out. And, you know, Joseph's story ends up great. But just think about this story after story like that of people who are obedient, who are, you know, just willing to let God use them, who have the right attitude. And man, God can accomplish a lot of things in a person's life like that. And so as we get ready for the week, I just want you guys to be thinking about we're going to give you notebooks and some things to like get your mind thinking about these things. But what does God want to do in your life? What does God want to use you to accomplish? Maybe it's a friend that you're supposed to share the gospel with. Maybe it's discipleship that you're supposed to start. Maybe it's a sin issue in your life that you're supposed to get rid of and, you know, finally, you know, knock it out and move past it. Maybe it's, you know, you never have really committed to reading your Bible. Maybe it's you don't have a prayer life at all. Maybe it's, you know, you struggle with obeying your parents. Like you're in high school, you're kind of almost an adult. And so it's like, I don't care what my parents think anymore. I'm, you know, whatever. Maybe that's the attitude that God wants to work on this week. Whatever it is, all of you guys probably have something different that God wants to do in your life this week. But just be obedient, be willing, have the right attitude, and just be open to what the Holy Spirit does. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit wants to use this week to do something in your life. If you're not born again, then God wants to speak to you this week, and He wants to see you saved this week at camp, or today before we leave for camp. And so, whatever the case is, wherever you're at, just be thinking about how God can use this week, and be thinking about the things that God can do in a week, especially with someone who's obedient and willing. So, with that, I'm going to pray. We're going to get out a little bit early, because I got to get out there and greet Seth. So Seth, our camp speaker, is preaching this morning. If you didn't already know that, he'll be here any minute. So say hi to him when he gets here if you want. Right after church is over, we're going to go. You can go to Common Grounds. We're going to have pizza in there. Your parents are welcome to come in there. Anybody who's going to camp will have food. And then we're going to try and leave here at 1. So if you have paperwork that you need to give me that. If you have your bags and stuff like that, you can throw them in Nick's dump trailer right out front. If you have any other questions, let me know. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you for this day, God. Just thank you for just this week, God. We've been praying for and working towards getting ready for this week for a long time now. And so, God, we just are glad that it's here. We're excited about what you're going to do this week. God, I'm excited about what you're going to do in my life this week. I don't know exactly what that is, God, but I know that you want to speak to each one of us. And so, God, I just pray that you would just prepare us even now. God, thank you for bringing in the team from Greentown. Pray that you would give them a good last day here in Kansas City and just take them back home safely tomorrow. And God, just thank you for just their willingness to come down and minister right alongside of us and attack this World Cup outreach. God, we just thank you for the work that's been done and for the lives that have been changed. God, we pray for those that have received the gospel. We pray for those that have just taken the Bibles. And God, we pray that they would look at those things and consider the conversations that they had and perhaps reach out, God, and let us connect with them and maybe give them more information, answer questions they may have. God, we just pray for the seed that's gone out. We know that some of it's going to land on good ground and some of it's not. And so, God, we just pray that that you would just work on the hearts of those that have received the gospel this week and just help us to be willing and obedient to continue to do these things that we know we're supposed to be doing. So just ask your blessing on us as we travel, and just pray for a good week this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.